the longest line on the map. The United States, the Pan-American Highway, and the Quest to Link the Americas by Eric Rutko. The highway unfolded before Sal Paradise. It was the spring of 1949. In Paradise, the narrator of Jack Kerouac's On the Road had decided to head to a new direction. For the past several years, he had vagabonded across the United States in an endless chase of freedom. But now, the road was leading him and his friend Dean Moriarty beyond the nation's borders for the first time. "I couldn't imagine this trip," said Paradise. "It was the most fabulous of all. It was no longer east-west, but magic south. We saw a vision of the entire Western Hemisphere, rock ribbing clear down to Tierra del Fuego, and us flying down the curve of the world to the other tropics and other worlds." The last word went to Moriarty. "Man, this will finally take us to it." Soon, they entered Mexico on the Pan-American Highway. The Pan-American Highway is the longest road in the world, running the length of the Western Hemisphere from Prudhoe Bay in Alaska to the southernmost tip of Chile in South America. It represents a dream of friendship, commerce, mobility of the Americas United. Our collective imaginations have been forged along its path. Ernesto Che Guevara, the iconic Argentine revolutionary, traveled it northward in the Motorcycle Diaries. Kerouac, the voice of the Beat Generation, followed it southward in On the Road. Many adventurers have journeyed the highway's distance, but the road itself still remains shrouded in mystery. Why was it built? And why does it remain unfinished? With a 60-mile-long break, the famed Darien Gap, between Panama and Colombia. Well, so opens the longest line on the map. And say what we will about Americans, we are builders. The Transcontinental Railroad building boom of the post-Civil War era, the U.S. federal highway system constructed across our continental nation during the 1950s, the 60s, into the 70s, and the ongoing infrastructure developments of any thriving city or town in our nation. We build stuff. It's part of the American dream, the American urge to build something as an expression of who we are and who we want to be. And truly, how can we not be builders? How can building not be a part of our cultural DNA? Look at our international heritage. The building of the Great Wall of China, the Silk Route, and so many other trading routes that linked the old worlds of Africa, Asia, and eventually Europe. The ancient Romans who changed their landscape with webs of sturdy and well-trod roads, with aqueducts, with Hadrian's Wall across the north of Britain. And look at our Native American heritage as we slowly learn more about the original Americans' urge to trade from the Great Lakes to the Gulf of Mexico. And most of all, look at our nation's very intentional and sometimes very imperialist expansion from sea to shining sea. They're all expressions of building something, for better or worse. And I'll get into all of that, as our author does, in The Longest Line on the Map. As our author tells us, in telling this story, the book charts a course through more than a century of U.S.-Latin American relations. The United States that emerges from this Pan-American history is a study in contradictions, torn between goodwill and self-interest, cooperation and control, pragmatism and paranoia. Indeed, Pan-Americanism was something of a paradox for the United States. While it elevated Latin American nations to stand as geopolitical equals and aimed at fraternal cooperation, it simultaneously cleared a path through the explicit exclusion of Europe from the alliance for the Colossus of the North to exert its dominion over the region. The Longest Line on the Map is the first of its kind, we're told, the first book to broach this incredibly broad and deep subject. As our author tells us, I first encountered the Pan-American Highway a decade ago. As a tourist traveling through Latin America, like Paradise, I spent little time thinking about how the road came to be. It seemed as though it has always formed part of the landscape, carving a path to connect the hemisphere's capitals, shifting volcanoes and coastal deserts and teeming jungles along the way. Life in the New World almost appeared to have risen along the route of the ever-present highway. The road became easy to take for granted, an incredible feature of the region. Soon I began searching through histories of U.S.-Latin American relations for more information on the highway, but my early investigations proved unsatisfying. The road rarely received more than a passing mention in any of those works. And the more I searched, the more elusive the road seemed to become. While hundreds of histories have been written on the hemisphere's other great infrastructure project, the Panama Canal, none has ever been published on the Pan-American Highway. And perhaps being the very first book to explore this subject explains why The Longest Line offers us readers very, very detailed writing. In these many, many pages, we learn a lot about personalities who dreamed, schemed, and built roads over the last 100 plus years on both the North and South American continents and in the lands between, delving deeply into the politics, the corruption, the soaring ideals of those who dreamed of building first railroads north to south, then modern-day auto and truck traffic roads. But the author's enthusiasm for his subject is a double-edged sword for the general reader, who is not likely to appreciate the nuances of business, government, and social history that underpin the personalities and activities of these many decades, the nuances that motivated the businessmen and the very few women who are the protagonists at the beginning of this long and detailed story, the era of the Vanderbilts, of Andrew Carnegie, of the industrial and rail network barons. Pages turn, times change, and for all its density, we read with fascination as the push for a network of roads linking north and south became more and more guided by federal government, diplomatic influence and funding, bringing into play a new constellation of personalities. Famed Civil War general and then U.S. President Ulysses S. Grant invested considerable time and effort into U.S.-Mexico deliberations in his post-presidential years, and Grant was a key force in developing the nascent rail system that would soon launch the beginnings of an international railroad network from the U.S. into Mexico. Grant was followed by many others, politicians mainly presidents, who while in office pushed forward or pulled back, cooperated with or disdained to help businesses, and as importantly, other governments from Mexico to Chile as they developed the intercontinental road links fought over for so long. And so the dreams, the push to link North and South America with roadways waxed and waned as federal dollars and federal diplomatic interest became both more necessary and more capricious as the decades unfolded. But whether led by business interests or the national governments of the time, The Longest Line points to the dreams of North-South roads as an overall idealistic rise of a Pan-Americanism, linking sovereign nations and different cultures into a shared vision of progress in the new world. Oddly enough, at a time when so much of the rest of the world was arguing over or suffering from nationalist and gross imperialist rivalries. And so it was that for at least a while, in the 19th and the 20th centuries, it was the new world that saw a rough form of international cooperation an investment taking place, a world where one could dream and indeed slowly engage in traveling from the very far north of Alaska into the very far south of Chile, an incredible longest line on the map. This then is a book of history, of commerce, of idealism, and of the author's own imaginations and thoughtfulness. He makes arguments here. He argues for certain points of view, and he concludes with these words. A century and a half has now passed since Hinton Rowan Helper first asked his immortal question, why not by rail? And began the quest to link the Americas. Over the course of that period, his dream of hemispheric connectivity took on a remarkable life. It snaked its way through more than a century of U.S.-Latin American relations, much like the Pan-American Highway would snake its way through the hemisphere. It had inspired U.S. presidents from Benjamin Harrison to Richard Nixon, and Latin American leaders from Porfirio Diaz to Omar Torrijos. It had shaped wars and revolutions that had birthed modern U.S. overseas development in the era of the good neighbor, and eventually cost the United States billions in aid. It was a dream that appeared inevitable, until suddenly it was not. The end of the quest in the United States seemed in some ways like a symbolic conclusion to the greater Pan-American movement with which it was bound up. The movement of true Pan-Americanism that had inspired Andrew Carnegie, Franklin Roosevelt, Richard Tewksbury, had gradually faded as a relic of the 20th century. After the Cold War years had undermined Pan-Americanism's non-intervention principles, a rising discourse of globalization had displaced the need for a hemispheric ideology altogether. The United States had come to see Latin America for not a part of a larger Pan-American region, but as a piece of the developing world, or global South. As he continues, even as the United States' own population has grown increasingly Hispanicized over the past three decades, the nation's public policy has paradoxically reflected minimal interest in the idealism of a Pan-American movement that had prospered in an earlier time. The great imagined hemispheric infrastructure project in the era of President Donald Trump is no longer a road to connecting the Americas, but a wall to divide them. The Pan-American highway, though incomplete, remains today a reminder that it was not always this way. The road is a monument to a forgotten path. What an incredible read. It's dense, but it's thoughtful, and it's quite interesting if you're at all interested in that great project that was to link the north of Alaska to the south of Chile, crossing two giant continents. The longest line on the map, the United States, the Pan-American Highway, and the Quest to Link the Americas. It's by Eric Rutkow, and it's available at all of our fine local libraries. Ask for it with curbside delivery if you'd like, and certainly at the West Lafayette Public Library. Thanks for listening.